Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please remain standing as we do the congregational prayer and the scripture reading. May we spend a few moments to do self-reflection on your relationship with God in a quiet heart. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, may you grant us clean hands and pure hearts, and let us not lift our souls to another, but toward you. May we bless you as you have blessed us, worship your holy name with joy and humble heart, and sing praises like never before. Loving Father, soften our hearts to trust and honor you as you are holy and righteous. You are the infinite and powerful creator of all things. We give thanks for your steadfast love and faithfulness toward your children. I pray that you change and mold us into your everlasting family so that we may experience your love and perfection. We ask that you grant us to lift our brothers and sisters in the congregations who are suffering physically and emotionally, with family issues, exploring career changes, struggling spiritually, or ongoing through the medical treatments. May you grant them peace, trust in you, as they are being challenged in the uncertain situation. We also humble ask you to grant the missionaries far and local with a healthy body and protection, and follow you with a thankful heart so that they may serve your kingdom as your ambassador and continue to spread the gospel to the people they touched. May the congregation praise you with humility so that your power of mercy and benefit, we will be able to witness the delights of your grace and compassionate love. And may be joyful knowing that you will never leave us. We pray for the college-bound brothers and sisters. May you protect them with your mighty love, and the Holy Spirit dwell in every one of them while they are on the campus, and continue to seek truth in our loving God. Father, we lift our eyes afresh to the cross so that we may walk with you in your amazing love. We continue to strive for you, for your will, and one by one until you call us home. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for remaining standing as we will be reading the scripture. This morning, the reading of the worship scripture will be a little bit different. Psalm 103 is a beautiful, beautiful hymn of praise. And I believe many of you might have read this, and God had truly enlightened your heart with joy and love in knowing God. If this is your first time reading Psalm 103, I pray, earnestly I pray, by reading together, you will experience the true meaning of our living and amazing God who loves, always endures forever. I will start reading from this slide stating pulpit, and the worship team will lead the reading stating congregation. Then we will read the last stanza together. So please do take note on each slide that has highlighted words and the main point of each slide, which we will go through later at this sermon. And I pray that when you read this psalm, you will experience the joy, the peace, and the comfort and the love in your heart from this loving God that we know. So here's the reading of the living and holy word. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with the steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all.
Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of this word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministry, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places in his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we give thanks for reading the Heavenly Father's word. Please be seated, and thank you so much for standing such a long time this morning. Good morning. Good morning, church, and also on the internet who's streaming. And welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church, the English Congregation Sunday service. My name is David Yuan. Many of you know that I'm one of the servants to this church. And we are very thankful to the Lord that you're able to join us virtually also, so that we can worship together. We pray all the worshipers will be gathered in this sanctuary in the very near future so that we may worship God corporately in one body and in Christ. I'm thankful that God grant me to share this morning message with you. And our church would like to express heartfelt appreciation for your prayers and support to this ministry that we have from the Lord. So this morning message is on the delight in God in relation to the gifts he give, not gifts, he give us. So the main point is this: through Christ, God is with us. By his covenant, sovereignty, righteousness, and love, he led us not to forget the benefits of him. Then, why and how do I bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul? So please know that this morning's sermon, I will be referring many, many verses, because this Psalm 103 is a very, to us personally, is very, very powerful message. And I believe that you will sense the same feeling because of the Holy Spirit. So please allow me to recap what we have shared messages in the book of Psalms so far. So we start in Psalm 1 back in July. to the latest Psalm 121, 119, and 46. And today it is Psalm 103, the most hymnal praised in the book of Psalms. All these Psalms led us to praise the Lord in worship, help from the Lord, His perfect covenant, wisdom, provider, warrior, and shelter to many worshipers. So this morning's sermons will be the last message in Psalm. As we continue to pray through Christ, God is with us. And by His covenant, sovereignty, righteousness, and love, He led us not to forget the only benefits from Him. So Psalm 103 is book number 4 out of 5, reflecting on God's providence in His people. It also interprets as a hymn of praise, celebrating the abundance, goodness, and love of our Lord Jesus Christ for His people. So this psalm recalls Israel's survival in Moses' time and was due to God's steadfast love, His perfect love. It is also praise and celebrate God's goodness and benevolence, which witnessed by David at that time. So I'm just wondering, and you know, just checking out what's going on with this on Psalm 103. So I was inquiring about the advanced computer language coding, which is the artificial intelligence called ChatBot. So in ChatGPT stated that Psalm 103 is a beloved psalm in the Christian tradition because it beautifully expressed gratitude and praise to God for His love, mercy, and forgiveness. The psalmist acknowledges God's goodness and faithfulness and encourages others to do so. The psalm also contains several memorable verses that have been used in hymns and other forms of worship. Additionally, the psalm is often associated with the season of Lent, a time of reflection and repentance in the Christian's calendar. Brother and sister, we truly believe it's more than just that. More than just that. It's full of gospel. Full of gospel. It is God's living word that brings us all together in praising and worshiping Him in one body and in Christ. So corporately, in this century, we can praise Him. So I encourage many of you who are streaming this morning to return to the body of Christ so that we may worship and fellowship in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ together. So let me spend a minute or so self-reflection on Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a beautiful, encouraging, and uplifting psalm. Our family had the privilege of sharing this psalm with many members and friends. A couple years ago, we shared this Psalm 103 with one of our friends who was suffering ailment so severely to the point that this friend sensed that the time is near. But we pray with him with this Psalm 103. The Holy Spirit dwelt in all of us while we're reading it. The tear was flowing down. By the grace of God, he recovered. He recovered. And he enjoyed his life. He enjoyed the relationship with all the family. Indeed, God is gracious. God is gracious. So in fact, this psalm enlightened me when we experience trials and tribulation in life. In all the changes in my career, fighting for health issues, loss of family members, the joy of becoming grandparents, struggling in serving the ministries, adjusting to retirement life, and challenged by walking with God. And most importantly, I ask myself, who am I in the eyes of our Lord? Who am I in the eyes of our Lord? By reading Psalm 103, the Holy Spirit comforts me and others in my life. And the reassurance of our Lord remains in my mind. And He will never leave me whenever, whatever my life has gone through. Indeed, God is good all the time. So in brief, allow me to introduce the background of Psalm, who is David in this Psalm 103. Charles Spurgeon, preacher and commentator, many of you know him, mentioned that Psalm was written in David's later life. At that moment, he was challenged by sin, war, safety, and the frailty of life. Spurgeon quoted a higher sense of the preciousness of pardon because a keener sense of sin. So majority of the Psalms were written in praise of God. So who is David in Psalm 103? Who is he? If you did this the first time you heard about this Psalm 103, this will give you a better background of what's going on. He was the youngest son of Jesse, eight of them, right? And he was a farmer and a sheep breeder of the Israelite tribe called Judah. He was anointed as the king of Israel between the age of 12 or 16 years old. At that time, Saul, the king of Israel, liked David, and David slew the giant Goliath from Gath and subsequently became one of Saul's armor's bearers. Later, Saul realized that God's heart was with David. Because of the jealousy, Saul sought to kill David at every opportunity. So David succeeded in evading the countless attempts on his life with the help of Saul's son and daughter, ironically, isn't it? Jonathan and Michal. David had a relationship with Bathsheba and became pregnant and arranged for Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, to be killed in the battle. So David is the author of many of the Psalms. He sought after and glorified God, and he was referred to as the shepherd king and a warrior poet. He also fell into great sin, and his family suffered as a result. But David turned to God and trusted him despite all these challenges. So this morning, as we read Psalm 103 scripture, you might notice that there are five parts of it that I would like to focus on. As mentioned earlier, the main ideas are through Christ. God is with us, and by his covenant, sovereignty, righteousness, and love, it led us to forget the benefits of him. Then why and how do I bless the Lord, O my soul? The word bless is related to a Hebrew word close to call it kneeling, interpreting it as kneeling. Even the camel does it. If you look at the scripture, Genesis 24, verse 11, quote, he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. Honor the Lord as we praise him in the way we bless him. Remember that. Honor the Lord as we praise him in the way we bless him. So the Hebrew word for soul is called nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. It means breath. So the dictionary defines soul as the principle of life, feeling, thought, and action in humans. But the scripture tells us that we are all created with three parts: a spirit, a soul, and a body. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it said, now, may the Lord of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see from this explanation, David turned to the Lord in praising him with all your heart, right? And with all your soul and all your mind, with all your strength, which you can look at that in the book of Mark, chapter 12, 30 to 31. So what David is doing in the first and the last verses of this psalm, if you have noticed it, When he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," he is saying that speaking about God's goodness and what? Greatness must come from the soul. From the soul. He is also reminding us that blessing God with the mouth without the soul would be hypocrisy. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from it," in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 8. So I would like to share one commentary from the Christ Center's expositions from the person named called Daniel Aikens, who is the sixth president of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. He quoted, "This psalm isn't individualistic. It is personal and communal, corporately, right? Just like authentic Christianity is." So let's dive in on today's message, which there are five main points in Psalm 103, which you can see on the screen. The first one, the benefits, which is from verses 1 through 5. These five words are packed with the benefit from the law on forgiveness, healed, redeem, crown, and satisfy. In verses 1 to 2, David showed his affection to the law by calling, "Bless the law." And he also knows God deserves our soul in worshiping him, and he is holy. So the psalm begins in your inmost being and ends with the outermost of being in verses 20 to 22. So in the second verse, it mentioned, "Do not forget all his benefit," which echoes from Moses in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 12. It's said, "Then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So also in chapter 8, verse 11, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and his statute, which I command you today," end quote. All this means to us is that we need to remember the blessing of God and to live in a constant gratitude to God with a humble heart. So they remind us that by doing these benefits from the law, forgiveness, healing, redemption, crown, and satisfy, we certainly will experience, like the eagle, spirit renewal, as mentioned in verse 5. You might ask, how the law forgives and heals? How the law forgives and heals? So let us look into David's sin with Bathsheba. So God granted forgiveness to David, but the healing of his son was denial. Right? If you need to know further, read further on 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 to 40. It's here, it's mentioned to us a little bit, but David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, so the child who is born to you shall die," end quote. So timing of healing is under the control of God, brother and sister. Timing of healing is controlled by God. It is up to him, but this should not discourage us, that Christ followers, that instead, it should point us to what matters the most. It is our relationship with God. It is our relationship with God. So sin destroys us, but God stands ready to forgive us. Nehemiah chapter 9, 27 said, "Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the enemies, who make them suffer. And in the time of their suffering, they cried out to you, and you heard them from heaven. And according to your great mercies, you gave them saviors who saved them from the hand of the enemies," end quote. So while we're seeking healing and strength, we enjoy the grace of knowing God better and building a personal relationship with Him, right? So again, how does the Lord redeem us, our lives, from the pit, which is in verse 4? David, at this moment, is praying from the deadly dangers in life. He knows that God is rescuing him from the death itself, which redemption experienced through Jesus Christ, that bring us all together a greater appreciation for the Lord who redeems sinners from the pit. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 24, it said, "We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus alone." So the Lord not only redeems, but He also crowns us. Isn't that beautiful? Crowns us like a king, exalting us by granting us undeserved royalty. Our gracious Redeemer make us part of His royal family, and we get crowned. We get crowned, amazingly, because of His Jesus' everlasting love and His bestowal of grace. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 7, it said, "So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Amen. In verse 5, David remind himself and all of us here that God satisfies and renew His people. God satisfies and renew His people. So God satisfies us with the best of things. That is what? Forgiveness and a right relationship with Him. Forgiveness and a right relationship with Him. He satisfies our thirst of joy, glorify Him, praises insignificantly, and beauty in knowing Him. Like a strong eagle, He renews our spirit in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So let's go to second point now. Let's go to second point. So we talk about God's attributes at this point from verses 6 to 10. 6 to 10. It said these verses indicate the characteristics of our God, that He is righteous, justice, grace, mercy, and magnified. Why does David reflect on righteousness and justice and oppress in verse 6? This is allude to Israel's bondage to Egypt. God does not tolerate injustice, but execute perfect righteousness and justice. So the New Bible Commentary book said that the law of righteousness is the stem of all His action. All His action. So in verse 7, David wonders how about the works that way that the law overviewed to Moses. This work covers the entire journey of Exodus, and the Lord trained His people in book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 2 said, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you this 40 years in the wilderness, but He might humble you, testing you to know that what was in your heart, what was in my heart also, whether you would keep this commandment or not." So in verse 8, it's almost like a synopsis of the Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7, on the attributes of God and proclaiming the name of our Lord. So David summarizes the Lord's self-portrait of the four attributes we mentioned earlier. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. God defines who He is, no doubt about it, right? He revealed Himself to the Israelites and the believers like us. We must not be tempted or compromised in His word, never. He must worship the God of revelation. And David proceeds to pull these four corresponding acts of God and tie them into the verses 9 through 10. God did not simply say that he is merciful and compassionate. He showed who he is, as we witness in the book of Exodus, and that he constantly forgives and is full of endurance. In verse 9, God is justified angrily at sin. He hates sin. But he does not maintain his anger forever. Never he maintained that anger forever. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you known people who just look for reason to be angry? Do you have ongoing bitterness or anger against someone? We marvel at his grace, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He does not keep his anger forever. Will you be doing the same? Will you be doing the same? Third point. Let's do the first point. God's love. This is from verse 11 to 14. So what is God's love? Well, when you mention about God's love, what is it? How can we describe his love? In these four verses, David attempts to summarize immeasurable distance to get the point across. So Apostle Paul also expressed such love in Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. It said, "You may have strength to comprehend with all the saints that is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ is that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So in verse 11 of Psalm 103, David said that as high as the heavens are above the earth. He is saying the vertical way of praising God, which falls into conveying the magnitude of God's love. The love also covers horizontally, east to west. Remind us daily of the comprehensiveness of God's forgiveness in the Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 25. It said, I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will never remember your sins because God's forgiveness, because God's forgiveness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be aware that this love must not be taken lightly. Please do not take this very, very lightly. We, as children of God, respond in awe and the holy respect. And remind us that those who fear him, God wants us to have a living sacrifice, as in Romans, book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. It said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Your spiritual worship. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Renewal of your mind. "That by testing you may discern that is will of God, but what is good and acceptable and perfect." So in verses 13 to 14, David turned to God's nearness or compassion. So God not only free us from the bondage of sins, but also draw us into the family with great compassion. God adopted us into the family. J.I. Packer stated, "Adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers." Let me repeat. Adoption is the highest privilege that gospel offers. And such a privilege brings us together to praise God. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "Remind me all the time. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the compassion from the Heavenly Father is everlasting and never changes. Never changes. You and I change constantly, but God never changed. Dear friends and Christ seekers this morning, this Heavenly Father knows us completely if you ever think no one knows or loves you. He does this great love and grace. He who knows us the best, loves us the most. Love us the most. He knows that we are but dust. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, quote, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became what? A living creature of death because of the creation." So we are all broken, brother and sister. We are all broken. Needy sinners, but we are still loved by him. It is amazing, right? So us not to doubt such love. We need only look into the cross. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, it said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, and I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This is a very powerful word, reminding us who he is. So we're reminded that we are more broken than we ever realized, but more loved than we have ever dreamed and expected. Number four. God's love endures in verses 15 to 19. God's love endures, verses 15 to 19. These four verses consider to be the everlasting nature of God to the great King over all in all. It reminds us that our frail state and hope that we have in the everlasting love of God. Dear church, the psalmist say that we are like a wild flower. We flourish, we fade. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 6 to 7, it said, "A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass." End quote. If we are so fleeting and fragile, what hope do we have? What hope do we have? And what is the meaning of me sitting in this sanctuary, since I'm so fragile, so frail? But wait, brother and sister, but wait. The following verses give us the perfect and clear answer on the endurance of our God. His love is permanent. In Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So God's everlasting love shines with glory. Isn't that beautiful? Our lives are brief, very brief, brother and sister, and unpredictable, truthfully unpredictable. But God's steadfast love lasts forever. His righteousness is unchanging. Amazing, isn't it? All who respond to him in fear because of the covenant relationship, who live under his word, have the assurance guarantee, right, that they will dwell with him forever. So this righteousness, the promise, carries in life forever with God, as this is held out to the generation to generation, and to the grandchildren too. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 50, it said, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." So dear brothers and sisters, though our lives are transient, and though salvation is ultimately owing to the mercy and grace of God, we can impact the coming generation by living godly lives and be faithfully teaching the gospel to them. Is our calling, brother and sister, is our calling to be his children and to share the good news to all. Remember, God is king and deserves wholehearted worship and total allegiance. Spurgeon rightly say that matchless sovereignty is the pledge of our for security, the pillar upon which our confidence may safely lean. We need to anchor to him with a grace and humility. Again, we need to anchor our law with grace and humility. Number five, the last one, verses 20 to 22. The last three verses remind us that when we say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," it is speaking about God's goodness and greatness, which must come from the soul. As mentioned at the beginning of the message, blessing God with the mouth without the soul would be hypocrisy. Jesus said, quote, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me," as a reminder. So David concludes this hymn of praise by calling on all heaven and earth to praise God. These three verses are quite similar to Psalm 148 on praise the name of the Lord, which calls upon the angelic hosts, the nature, the heavens, and earth to praise the Lord. In verse 20, the angelic armies of God are part of the celestial court in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. It said, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" End quote. So the angels are there to do the Lord's will for his glory. This also echoes the Lord's prayer in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 10. It said, "Your kingdom comes. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. So this is saying we should pray for God's will to be done always. So finally, the psalmist David calls the rest of the creation to follow the same praising the Lord. So in verse 22, "Bless the Lord, all his works and his dominion." This is one example when Jesus triumphant entry to Jerusalem. And the people declare what? "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." But in Luke 19:38, it said the Pharisees were upset because what? They are praising the king, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stone will cry out." So dear brothers and sisters, creation exists to magnify and glorify the king. Creation exists to magnify and glorify the king. Therefore, every creature in the heavens and earth, including all of us here, is charged with the same obligation to bless the Lord and to follow Christ with a thankful heart. In light of knowing who God is and who he has done and what he has done, how could we not join in this beautiful hymn of praising our Lord Jesus Christ from Psalm 103. I assure you that life will not be easy. I assure you that life will not be easy for every one of us in here. And also the journey of life will be unpredictable, which will be encountered by Christians and Christ-like seekers. It is the only hope and love, forgiveness, healing, redemption, crowning, more importantly, the salvation of our Lord, Jesus Christ, bringing all of us together in Christ, in one family with his steadfast love and benefits. Brother and sister, when you face turmoil and confrontations, I encourage you to open your Bible and read Psalm 103. So what does this psalm teach us about the faith of knowing him? What does it mean to preach, share, and proclaim the gospel? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless your holy name for such patience, mercy, and grace. May you alone empower us with your love and mercy so that we may love others. May you make us slow to anger, abound in love as you have shown in your holiness to us. Indeed, the author of eternal salvation, you are the hope. We have us an anchor of the soul and the power of an endless love and the life that you know, that we know you. We give thanks for the time in worshiping you this morning. May you grant us continue to care for and love each other, others as you have loved us. We pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.